Can the world's instability work to the advantage of the believer? We think so.
I don't think this is going to be sleight of hand or just technology. It's not going to be a bot, but it's going to be a true artificial intelligence that will actually be animated. It'll be an animated statue. It doesn't say it gives it life, but it's given a breath. So again, this will be part of the supernatural power of the false prophet. But you see these bots today, these chat bots that can talk and have this artificial intelligence. Someday the Antichrist, the false prophet, is going to have an artificial intelligence, a statue that's actually animated and can speak.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with two guests. We think both offer insights into our times that will help you understand the times, contend for the faith, and be watchmen on the wall. Yes, we are in unstable times, but that opens the door to share the hope we find in Jesus Christ. Here is today's programming.
The power to hack human beings can, of course, be used for good purposes, like providing much better healthcare. But if this power falls into the hands of a 21st century Stalin, the result will be the worst totalitarian regime in human history, and we already have a number of applicants for the job of 21st century Stalin. Just imagine North Korea in 20 years, when everybody has to wear a biometric bracelet which constantly monitors your blood pressure, your heart rate, your brain activity, 24 hours a day. You listen to a speech on the radio by the great leader, and they know what you actually feel. You can clap your hands and smile, but if you're angry, they know you'll be in the gulag tomorrow morning.
That was an interesting little introduction by Yuval Noah Harari, an Israeli, a globalist, a member of the World Economic Forum. We're going to talk about some of those issues this first half hour. I have two very interesting guests today. I'm opening the program with Olive Tree Ministries representative Ken Michael. Ken has traveled America speaking on behalf of the ministry and trying to bring an awareness to the church about all that is happening in the world and the church today from a biblical perspective. Time hopefully will allow us to hit on a few topics anyway. And they are topics that Ken would address in his seminars, churches, and conferences. Ken, welcome back to the studio.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Jan.
Ken, as you travel, and you've traveled literally coast to coast, what are you learning from those who attend your sessions? You've told me that the response is positive. Why don't you explain it a little more in detail?
The response has been very positive. We're seeing people starting to wake up now. For example, maybe they heard from a friend or a family member or a pastor that some of the issues that they're concerned with, we're addressing from a biblical perspective. We have people showing up that have never heard of Yuval Harari or the World Economic Forum or central bank digital currencies. So what we're doing is we're educating people. And then you have those who listen to our program or follow current events, and they just want to connect with like-minded people. Or their pastors and churches simply will not address these issues, and they're so frustrated, and we're really trying to encourage all pastors to start confronting the issues, because we're seeing that some pastors don't want to get political. I always tell them, political issues are moral issues, and moral issues are biblical issues. We're seeing pastors who realize that, you know what, I haven't talked about any of the current events that are going on. I'm going to invite Olive Tree Ministries to my church for my flock so that they can understand what's going on. And then maybe the pastor might receive some remedial training.
You and I have been tracking the growing phenomenon called artificial intelligence, and that's going to be a primary tool of the Antichrist in his seven-year kingdom. And in just a few years, this whole issue has exploded to the degree some listeners may not be aware. The threats from this are astounding. It could eventually replace lawyers, teachers, writers, musicians. It could take over almost every profession. We could be a society run by machines, driven by AI. A leader in this technology is Elon Musk. And he says we're literally summoning up demons by playing with it. Give me your thoughts.
People need to realize that artificial intelligence doubles every 11 to 12 hours, 24/7. As you heard from Yuval Harari, what he was talking about, if you know your Bible, he was literally describing if a global dictator takes power, it could be the world's worst dictatorship. Well, he's describing the Antichrist during the tribulation. And then he warns of these digital dictatorships and the creation of a system. And this system will understand us better than we understand ourselves. And it can actually predict our feelings and decisions and can ultimately make decisions for us. That's the ultimate goal of this AI system that's being set up. The new thing that we're seeing now is this ChatGPT, which was originally set up to answer any question within a matter of seconds. I've asked it biblical questions, and for the most part, it's pretty accurate advice. But as I've experimented with it, I've noticed there's a bias with ChatGPT. It seems to be a left-leaning bias. For example, if you ask it a question, a lot of the answers have to do with climate change or equity, inclusion, and diversity, all of these left-leaning social justice causes. And now what ChatGPT is morphed into, and this is what Elon Musk and all these tech giants are warning us about, what this is morphed into now is a system similar to what Yuval Harari was talking about that becomes your personal assistant. In other words, your personal companion, where you start feeding it information and it gives you the answers back. It starts making decisions about what you should eat, when you should eat, tells you about your appointments, answering critical questions about your life. And they may not be the best answers for you personally, but that's what this system now is set up for.
I'm going to play a short clip here by Dr. Mark Hitchcock, and I've actually used this before, and I think in 2 minutes, he sums up some of the dangers here so effectively.
One article I read has a little subheading. It says, how big a deal is ChatGPT? Well, a few days after its launch, more than 1 million people were trying it out. Millions and millions of people now have gotten online and tried this out. Here's a couple of fascinating quotes by Elon Musk. He actually was one of the co-founders of this company called OpenAI before leaving. He said this, ChatGPT is scary good. We're not far from dangerously strong AI or artificial intelligence. Dangerously strong, that's going to get into really some scary stuff. Another thing that Elon Musk said about this is fascinating to me. He said, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon, or some translations have the devil. We're summoning the devil or summoning the demon. I think he's saying a lot more there than he realizes, because this is going to be used by demonic forces in probably all kinds of ways that we could never imagine. Many are saying that this forum here is going to replace some jobs. Computer programmers may not be needed anymore. This can program computers. They won't need people for media planning and buying. It will take that over. Actually, they're saying that some legal functions, ChatGPT passed a law school exam. It also passed an MBA exam. So this technology is astounding in what it can do. Now, here's a fascinating thought about all this. One person wrote this. People are expressing concerns about AI chatbots replacing or atrophying human intelligence. For example, the chatbot can write an article on any topic efficiently, though not necessarily accurately, within seconds, potentially eliminating the need for a human writer. The chatbot can also write an entire full essay within seconds, making it easier for students to avoid learning or to write properly. This has led to some school districts blocking access to it. Here's another thought. This is astounding. In the next 25 years, AI will evolve to the point where it will know more on an intellectual level than any human being. Now listen to this. In the next 50 or 100 years, an AI might know more than the entire population of the planet put together. So have an artificial intelligence bot here, a robot, that'll know more than all the combined knowledge of all the people on Earth.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, Jan Markell, today talking for segment one with Ken Michael, ministry representative. If you'd like Ken to come to your church or group, you can learn more if you go to olivetreeviews.org and then go to conferences or events, and then you'll find the Ken Michael tab right there. Ken, what he just said, that eventually AI will know more than almost everyone on the planet knows, this is mind-blowing.
we know that Satan, whatever starts out as being used for good, he will use as evil. And I think we should start listening to some of these tech CEOs, what they're saying to us, because I think it was Elon Musk. He talks about all these past evildoers that have risen up and killed millions of people, like Hitler and Stalin. But he said, at least they die. He said, with AI, there is no death.
Right.
You have this immortal dictator from which you cannot escape. So he goes on to say, who are we serving? We're already serving the machine and tech gods with our phones and computers. He went on to say that computers are going to outsmart humans in every way by the year 2025. And he said, you have a linear response to an exponential threat, and the exponential threat will always win if that's your response. And he said, the scariest part is the propaganda end of this. And it's a huge threat because it's telling us what they want us to hear. And it all goes down to who is feeding information into this AI evil giant.
Ken's seminars will help you understand the times, contend for the faith, and become a watchman on the wall. Ken, you are ministering in September at a prophecy conference in Europe. You'll be ministering with Billy Crone, Brandon Holthaus, Mondo Gonzalez, and Tom Hughes. Tell my folks about it.
Well, I'll tell you, Jan, I'm really excited. Lord willing, Pastor Billy and the people that you just mentioned, we're going to go on September 22nd and 23rd to Portadown Town Hall in Portadown, Northern Ireland. Then the following Wednesday of September 27th, we're going to be in Ayr Town Hall in Ayr, Scotland. And then on September 29th and 30th, we're going to be at the Grand Hotel Londra in San Remo, Italy. It's the beautiful Mediterranean, old-style Italian city. It's just going to be fabulous. I spoke with Pastor Billy last week. He said there are many Americans that are already signed up. And most importantly, the people over there are so excited because they've never had a conference like this. If you need more information, go to getalifemedia.com, getalifemedia.com. That's Pastor Billy Crone's website. Has all the sign-up information there. Lord willing, we'll get to see you out there this fall.
I'm going to play one more clip of Mark Hitchcock, and here Dr. Hitchcock explains just how this, which sounds daunting and quite evil, in fact, is going to fit into the overall eschatological or end-time plan.
So ChatGPT is doubtless showing us the way toward our tech future. It's showing the way towards the tech future in the world. Now, there's all kinds of implications, I think, about this for prophecy and global control and the empire of the Antichrist. But one thing that came to mind to me when I read about this is in Revelation chapter 13. In Revelation 13, the first 10 verses are about the coming Antichrist. But beginning in chapter 13, verse 11, we have another beast here introduced, another world leader who's the false prophet. And he's kind of the henchman, really, of the Antichrist. He's kind of the propaganda minister. Some have called him the Antichrist worship leader. But it says in Revelation 13, 11, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast. The first beast here is the Antichrist. And he makes the earth and all who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. It's talking about the death and resurrection of the Antichrist. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. So he's demonically energized and supernaturally empowered to do miracles. And then it says, he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs it was given to him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So in the end times, this second beast, this false prophet, he's going to have an image made of the Antichrist. And we know from places like 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that this image is going to be placed in a third rebuilt temple in Jerusalem in the Holy of Holies. And it's going to be an image of the Antichrist. And people all over the world are going to be called upon to worship that image. It's called by Daniel, and it's later referred to by Jesus as the abomination of desolation. This is going to be part of the deception and delusion that's going to take place in the end times. And people are going to have to bow down to that image and worship that image and worship the Antichrist. So it's going to be kind of like Daniel chapter 3. Remember, all the way back at the beginning of the times of the Gentiles, there was a Gentile king who demanded worship of an image. We get to the end of the times of the Gentiles, there's going to be a Gentile world ruler, the Antichrist, who's going to demand that everybody bow down to an image as well. And he says he's going to give breath to this image so that it will speak. I don't think this is going to be sleight of hand or just technology. It's not going to be a bot, but it's going to be a true artificial intelligence that will actually be animated. It'll be an animated statue. That doesn't say it gives it life, but it's given a breath. So again, this will be part of the supernatural power of the false prophet. But you see these bots today, these chat bots that can talk and have this artificial intelligence. Someday the Antichrist, the false prophet, is going to have an artificial intelligence, a statue that's actually animated and can speak. So what we see today is AI, it's artificial intelligence. This will be AI, this will be abomination of desolation intelligence that's coming. And what we're seeing in the world today, I think, is a setup for people as they see these kinds of things. When this takes place, it's going to go far beyond anything that man has ever imagined. And people have to worship that image or they'll be killed. That's where all of this ultimately, I think, is headed.
So, Ken, lo and behold, this didn't just come along out of nowhere for no reason. It actually ties into the whole end time plan that God has outlined.
Jan, I think we should start listening to those who are developing this and the warnings that they're giving us. I believe that we are witnessing an Oppenheimer moment. What do I mean by that? These tech CEOs are warning us that this could be more dangerous than nuclear weapons.
Yep.
And what did Professor Oppenheimer warn the world about when he developed the atomic bomb? He said, if this technology falls into the wrong hands, this could lead to the end of civilization. And that's exactly what we're seeing these modern day tech developers and CEOs warning us that this could be an even worse outcome. And I couldn't agree more that the Antichrist, the false prophet, are going to need this technology to run their one world system,
right,
their one world government, because they're not omniscient, they're not omnipresent. Even though they're going to be infused with certain powers and signs and wonders from Satan, they aren't going to know everything, and I believe AI will give them the technology to know what every single person is buying, what they're selling,
right,
who they're with. And not only that, this technology will give them the power to know what they think and what they feel. And that is dangerous.
Again, you want to get a hold of Ken, go through the website, olivetreeviews.org. There's a whole page on some of his upcoming meetings and how to contact him. Go to conferences and events. Ken, I'm just transitioning. I want to hit one more topic. The Bible says that the world will return to the days of Noah in the last days. And in recent weeks and months now, we've seen retail establishments cave to the coarse culture and celebrate even infant transgender clothing, the homosexual lifestyle, and more. This is all for profit and to make a statement that celebrating what God condemns is good. They actually stole his symbol, the rainbow. You can go to target.com/pride if you want to be beyond outraged, folks, but prepare to be shocked. They've got infant apparel. They've even got pet apparel. Give me your thoughts, because we have talked privately about what they're doing to children is the last straw.
People need to understand that the target is squarely on our children. They're not only getting it from big businesses, but they're getting it from school officials, from our government leaders. We know firsthand right here in Minnesota what they've done. They've now made Minnesota a trans safe state for children. Any child can come to this state and the state will take custody of them, and you have to relinquish your parental rights. That's happening all over the country right now. So what we're seeing, Jan, is a huge lie. Let's look at Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created male and female. Now what are we telling children? Did God really create man and woman in his image? Did he really create them? No, of course not. You can be any gender you want. You can change it from day to day. Just use a different pronoun. And that's what our public school systems are teaching children. Our medical facilities are bringing children in and giving them hormone blockers,
yep,
and sexually mutilating them. This is an abomination to God.
I wonder if this is the, may I use the term, last straw? God's going to say enough's enough, going to take his church home and then deal in a judgment way with the rest of the planet. what we're talking about, folks, look, I got a house full of cats, okay? But we've got cat toys that are rainbows with slogans on them, queer is good. Now Kohl's has gotten on the bandwagon and it's selling transgender-themed clothing for three-month-old babies. Ken, is this indoctrination or is it indoctrination?
Well, absolutely. And like I said, this will completely overturn our culture because it's not just the kids that transition. We have to understand that.
Yeah.
Right now, there's 2.5 to 3 million children waiting for reassignment surgery, not just transitioning and thinking they're a different gender, for actual surgery. So yes, this is going to flip the culture, but it's not just those kids, Jan. It's the rest of the population that is learning that this is perfectly normal. And if you speak out against it, then you're the problem, you're the bigot, and we need to silence you.
We've got a whole month of this so-called June Pride Month. I'm going now to social commentator Alex Stein. Stein noted the pet merchant Petco offers a collection of pride-themed products for pets to show off their pride. So in the video that's online, I'm not playing it, Stein asks Petco cashier whether the store can help turn his dog gay, holding up a rainbow-colored chew toy for the camera. Ken, it doesn't get any more bizarre. I keep thinking that it's not going to get any worse, and then everything hits the fan even more than I ever thought.
What's the number one thing that destroys everything? And I'm talking about governments, businesses, families. We've seen it destroy ministries all across the nation. All we have to do is look to Proverbs 16, verse 18 and 19. And what does verse 18 say? Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And as you said, we're dedicating an entire month to the sin of pride. And let me just give you a notable quote as it relates to children. The state must declare the child to be the most precious treasure of the people. As long as the government is perceived as working for the benefit of the children, the people will happily endure almost any curtailment of liberty and almost any deprivation. That quote, Jan, is from Adolf Hitler, and he fully understood how to influence an entire generation to not only do what he wanted, but to go out and murder millions of people.
Apparently, Target alone has lost between 10 and 15 billion. They don't care. The agenda is more important. The indoctrination is more important to them, folks. This is evil run amok. American Family Association, and they have a clip here. The people running Target have gone off the deep end and are unfortunately dragging millions into the abyss with them. And American Family goes on to say Christian conservatives were horrified to find Satanist-affiliated LGBTQ Pride Month merchandise in Target stores across America. The superstore, already facing backlash for its tuck-friendly swimsuits, partnered with the UK-based brand Abprobellan to create the LGBTQ Pride Month collection, which, by the way, goes on. It's clearly satanic. Again, this is what's being fed to our children to lure them in. In the last week, Target pulled or relocated some of its very controversial stock due to customer outrage, so it always helps when we act and react to this madness. Folks, we need to boycott, boycott. Here's just a few more outfits that are participating in this one way or another. We've got Comcast, Farmers Insurance, General Mills, H&R Block, Hallmark Cards. Yeah, I said Hallmark Cards. Hershey Company, Hilton, Hyatt Hotels, Johnson & Johnson, Kohl's, Kellogg, Mars & Mattel, McDonald's, Nationwide, Nestle, Procter & Gamble, Target again, T-Mobile, Tesla, Verizon, Walgreens, Walmart, Walt Disney, Wendy's, and Zillow. And I hate to break it to you, Chick-fil-A fans, they've bought into diversity, equity, and inclusion, and they have gone totally woke. That's just a few participating in this indoctrination campaign, because to them, politics and ideology are far more important than the lives, not just children, but anybody. Folks, there are some things that Target's carrying in their line of trans clothes I can't talk about here on Christian Radio. Ken, wrap it up for us, please.
Jan, people come up to me, why are they doing this when they're losing billions of dollars?
Exactly.
Well, they don't care. What they care about right now is their ESG score, their environmental social governance score, and they get rated on their diversity, equity, inclusive score. Because those companies that don't follow what the World Economic Forum is pushing, they'll go out of business. So these companies that are pushing this know that they'll be in business in the long run, so the short-term losses don't matter. And just as a side note, we're all going to be given a social credit score at some point, especially we know when this digital currency comes into effect. So be prepared for that and stop giving your children over to these modern-day Satanist gods. If your public school is participating in this, don't send them to public school. If your medical facility is participating in it, don't send your children there. Find something else. And certainly, like Jan said, don't contribute to these stores that are promoting this transgender ideology for children. This is Satan's way. If he can't destroy them inside the womb, he's found a diabolical way to destroy them outside the womb.
Well said, Ken. Ken is our representative traveling from coast to coast, ministering in churches, prophecy conferences, etc. If you'd like to learn more, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org, and go to conferences, events, and you'll find a drop-down box. You can even fill out a little form there, and we'll follow up with you to make sure that, if possible, Ken can get to your church group or conference. Because, folks, we are trying to, Ken, sometimes we feel like we're trying to wake the dead. Some of the issues that we're talking about are so important, and a lot of Christians are clueless. They're patronizing Target on a weekly basis, and our message for this half hour is, please, folks, stop. You want to close it with a thought? Please do.
Stop worshiping these false gods. Don't support these businesses.
Amen.
Matthew 24:11 tells us the signs of the times and the end of the age, and we both believe we're quickly approaching that. And verse 11 says, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Number one warning Christ always gives us, do not be deceived. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And this is for us. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. That's what we need to do, Jan. We need to go out and be salt and light and confront this head on. We need to protect our children, because some of the things we talk about, we're not going to be able to change, but we can protect our children. We need the mama bears, and we need men that are willing to protect their families to go out there and do whatever needs to be done.
Thank you, Ken, for coming in today. Folks, part two of my program, I'm going to be talking to author, illustrator Todd Hampson. We'll be talking about some very intriguing issues, things to come. Don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In the age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries and Understanding the Times Radio. We have entered our 22nd year of broadcasting Understanding the Times Radio, and now are heard on almost 1,000 stations and electronic outlets. Thank you for partnering with us. We are in a critical time for believers, as we are clearly called to be watchmen on the wall in these last days. We can't thank you enough for trusting this ministry and for investing financially and prayerfully. If we have been a blessing to you, why not tell five people that they should tune into Understanding the Times Radio for news, views, and truths? If you don't know which station to listen to, listen on our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org, and then go to radio. We have years of programming posted there in both audio and video format. The rest of 2023 is promising to be a challenging year, so stay tuned and always look up. He is coming soon.
the church at large has been good at focusing on the empty tomb and all the wonderful things that Christ secured for us at the cross. But we need to remember there's an occupied throne. There's no panic in heaven. God doesn't have a plan B. He knows exactly what he's doing. So we need to put our trust in that. And lastly, we need to look forward to that amazing promised future that God has set before us.
We know you can't always be by a radio. So if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now, here is Jan Markell to introduce part two of today's programming.
When I talk to people, I'll be up front and tell them, especially if they come to me and they're saying, I'm confused by the different views and how do you really know pre-trib, pre-mill is really the one? And I'll say, okay, there's no chart in the Bible that lays out every single order for us. But when you do the work and use logic and compare scripture with scripture, you can put together a concrete overview of the basic order of events. I mean, we don't know every single detail of how it all takes place, but you can be confident that you can know we get raptured before the tribulation and the thousand-year reign is a literal thousand-year reign.
Welcome to part two of my programming. And this segment of the hour, I'm going to talk to somebody whose work I admire so much, Todd Hampson. He's an author, an illustrator, an animation producer. And we've carried half a dozen of his products, and we do carry one now, which is The Chronological Guide to Bible Prophecy, an illustrated panorama from Genesis to Revelation. I'm going to be talking to Todd about some general items this half hour, and particularly some eschatological issues, questions, and topics. And I know the time's going to go quickly. So, Todd, welcome back to the program.
Jan, it's such a pleasure to be on with you again. Thank you so much.
You haven't been on here for many months, possibly even a year. And I would like you to share with my audience, we have new listeners, and others may not totally recall, your very intriguing testimony. Give me a minute or two. Take your time. I want to see how the topic we're dealing with this half an hour affected your life so profoundly.
I grew up completely unchurched, as far from God as you could get. But as the Lord would have it, in the eighth grade, he put me in a Christian school. As you mentioned at the opening, I'm an illustrator and an animator by nature. That's kind of my background. Even as a kid, I used to draw all the time. So when I got to this school, I connected with my art teacher, who also happened to be my Bible teacher. I was the only unsaved young man in the room, and I see now looking back, he catered his entire class to reach me. But I had a lot of questions. I thought the Bible was a book of fairy tales. I thought we evolved. I didn't think anything in the Bible was true or real. So he patiently answered a lot of my questions, and a lot of them I could explain away. And I wasn't disrespectful by any means, but I really was looking for truth. So this teacher answered a lot of my questions, and he used some evidences of the faith to break down some of the barriers I had about scripture. And the one that I could not shake was fulfilled Bible prophecy. And he only showed me a handful of fulfilled Bible prophecies and pointed out a few in one of our chapel classes. And I could not shake it, so much so that it made me start praying, God, if you're real and you're the God of the Bible, open my eyes and make me believe. Fulfilled prophecy didn't directly lead to my salvation, but it broke down some barriers that allowed me to consider the claims of Christ and really consider the fact that the Bible was from God. And that naturally led into a passion and a love for all things Bible prophecy and eschatology. And that's led me over the years to what I'm doing right now. So it's a compelling apologetic.
I think you have almost a dozen books that have come along in the last 7-8 years, which is an amazing journey you've been on, from being an unbeliever to getting intrigued, as you've just outlined, to informing tens of thousands, if not millions more, about the topics that you and I care about so much. And along the way, and I have heard you say this, that millennials and Gen Z are wanting to learn more, that they're seeing the instability of the world, and that they're looking for answers. Therefore, they must be writing you, because you and Jeff Kinley do Prophecy Prose, and I know you get a lot of listener feedback. So talk to us about millennials and Gen Z and what they're asking.
We get a lot of comments through my ministry, his ministry, our Prophecy Prose podcast together. Just this year, to drive that point home even more, we've been traveling all over the country doing these one-day pop-up conferences from upstate New York to Miami to Oregon and everywhere in between. And we're really seeing a grassroots movement in most of these churches. It's been millennials and Gen Z and even their children who have been coming to these conferences learning about Bible prophecy. And what we're noticing is it's not like a big group of people in any given area. It seems like believers that are waking up to the times and the amazing prophecies and what you can learn through Bible prophecy and eschatology are spread out, but we're seeing them at these conferences, and it's very encouraging. We're even seeing pastors from the next generation, Gen Z and millennials, come to these conferences wanting to learn about Bible prophecy because they're seeing the instability, and a lot of their people are asking them about it. Even though we've really had 20 or 30 years worth of pastors who are afraid to touch the topic, we're seeing some hopeful signs that there's a remnant of pastors who are listening to their people and realizing the incredible relevance of teaching Bible prophecy at this time.
That is spurred on, as you have said, because they're seeing the world is going crazy. It's not stable right now. There's no one person. A president of America is often a world leader, sort of the world leader. Well, obviously, we don't have that now. So obviously, these folks are seeing the incredible instability of our times, and they have to be asking questions.
There's definitely a leadership vacuum in the world right now, which is exactly what we would expect to see as we head towards the moment of the rapture and all the things that we read about with the future tribulation period.
Prophecy is in every book of the Bible, possibly with one or two exceptions. It's weaved throughout the entire Bible. You call it the central nervous system. It connects to every key person, every area of theology. You can't study prophecy without learning more about the theology and about the key to it all, Jesus Christ. And I have heard you and Jeff talking, I think, in a very intriguing way. And I actually touched on this with Amir Sarfati a couple weeks ago about life after the rapture, because even though that will be a horrific time, some incredibly good things are going to be happening. And I'm just going to play a quick clip of you and Jeff talking about this.
Initially, people are going to go to Twitter, they're going to go to TikTok, Instagram, they're going to go to the news wires, and they're going to start trying to explain what just happened. What might be some of the ways that people could or will explain how this is what happened?
What's really interesting is those of us who have studied Bible prophecy for a while have read and studied some of the non-Christian reasons that that might happen, kind of like the enemy's tipped his hand a little bit. Mm-hmm. For example, in New Age teaching for decades now, they have taught that various circles, they've taught in different forms, but essentially that there's coming a time when all the people who are holding back progress will be taken from Mother Earth, or the universe will take them, or some form of that, where the people that are taken are not those who are taken to be with the Lord, but they're taken out of here so that the world can finally rise to the level that it's supposed to rise, that we're holding them back, and eventually the universe is going to answer. And then also, of course, along with that, there's been movies made, there's been discussions of it. Very similarly, somewhat tied to this New Age movement is alien abduction. And that sounds crazy to say, but look at all the legitimizing of UFOs and that kind of stuff from military videos and all that that's going on now. If there's anything to that, I think it's part of the demonic deception, maybe one of the initial excuses that's going to be given. Because like you said, I think right off the bat, it's going to be chaos, grief, and panic. People are going to look for answers. Those are going to be some of them. And I think there's evil people, globalists and other people who will not hesitate for a second and realize this is the moment they've all been waiting for. Mm-hmm. This is the crisis that's finally going to let them push everything over the edge. We can talk about that as well. But there's probably other excuses too. There's probably wormholes and physics type stuff. And like you got the CERN going where they're trying to find the God particle and basically make a black hole. I could see people speculating, oh, they broke open a wormhole and all these people got sucked out. So there's probably going to be all kinds of wild explanations that initially people will gravitate to or wonder if there's any truth to it. And I think there will be some people who were close enough to Christian teaching who will realize right off the bat, oh my gosh, this is the rapture that my sister was talking about, or my grandmother was telling me about, or that I used to make fun of. And then one more thought, and then I'll pass it back over to you, Jeff, is as we talk about this and the chaos that's going to be in the world afterwards, we don't do that gleefully. Oh my gosh. And God's given the church 2,000 years already to realize this is the truth and to get on the ark, so to speak, to get into safety in Christ and get out of here. Yeah. And that's our whole mission as the church, is to evangelize the world, the Great Commission, to tell everyone about how to be saved from this horrific prophesied 7-year period of God's direct wrath on earth that's coming. So it's our job as believers now to keep telling people that, because we don't want anybody to experience it. Unfortunately, we know that most of the world will go through it.
If you just join me, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from the East Coast, Todd Hampson. Todd and his team just launched a website and app called the Bible Prophecy Community. It is designed to encourage and equip watching believers who want to stay connected to like-minded folks and who love these topics. To learn more, visit toddhampson.com. That's toddhampson.com. Todd, you write this: "Yes, I believe the biggest revival ever will occur after the rapture due to the ministry of the 144,000 protected Jewish witnesses, the two witnesses in Jerusalem, resources left behind, and because many who heard their crazy Christian friends and relatives talk about the rapture will realize what happened and finally turn to Christ." And then you say, "By the fifth seal in the first set of judgments, we find that there are many post-rapture believers who will have been killed for their faith early on in the tribulation period." So the greatest revival in your mind and mine is going to be during the 7-year time period.
I believe it'll be the greatest revival in the history of the church. There is a lot of people we hear talk about a great end time revival before the rapture, but I don't find that anywhere in Scripture. That doesn't mean it couldn't happen, but everything I see in Scripture leans towards a falling away of the church before it's taken out of here. But we do find that in the early phases of the tribulation period, there will be many martyrs, which speaks to two things. Number one, the rough nature of the tribulation period, where people will be killed quite frequently, but also the hopeful aspect that it says there will be multitudes. If you get to Revelation 7, right after it talks about the ministry of the 144,000, it talks about seeing an uncountable multitude of believers that are standing before the Lord. So apparently the witness of the 144,000 and what we mentioned with the resources left behind and the witness of the two witnesses is going to bring about the greatest revival in the history of the church.
We carry Todd's latest book, The Chronological Guide to Bible Prophecy, an illustrated panorama from Genesis to Revelation. And the reason it's unique, folks, is that Todd is an illustrator. He's an animation producer. So his books, let's just say, are very visual and laid out in an intriguing way with diagrams, illustrations, and even cartoon characters. Todd, again, I'm quoting you here. You say, "There will be great delusion, but this is progressive." And then you say, "Like Pharaoh, who first hardened his own heart before the Lord hardened it, people in the tribulation period are given every chance to receive Christ in Revelation 14. There is even an earth-circling angel preaching the gospel to make sure every single person has heard the gospel." And that would be Revelation 14, 6 through 10. And then you say, "A careful reading of Revelation shows that in the midst of God's wrath on earth, his grace is present. Revelation details the process whereby post-rapture people either move closer to the Lord or further away. They are redeemable up until they take the mark of the beast at midpoint of the tribulation. At that time, they are lost forever." I'm going back to when you say there will be a great delusion, but that is progressive. What do you mean that is progressive?
Even in God's wrath and God's grace are two sides of the same coin. We can't see one without the other. It always makes me chuckle when people say, "Oh, I like the God of the New Testament better than the God of the Old Testament." I want to ask them, "Have you read Revelation? Because his judgment is present in the New Testament as well." But the purpose of it is, even in judgment, he's trying to bring people to himself. Just like Pharaoh, who hardened his own heart, and then God actively hardened his heart. It's almost like up until you get to the midpoint when people take the mark of the beast, there's one judgment after the other, which really the purpose of the judgment, one of the purposes, is to call people to himself, to give them another chance and admit their sins and turn to him for grace and accept the amazing gift of salvation. So God is a God of grace, even his wrath. It's almost like a hardened criminal who can't respond any other way. Just this morning, I got an email from one of the listeners for our podcast that said her son is in prison and she had always taught him about the Lord, but it wasn't until he had the hardship of being in prison and facing the reality of that, that he finally gave his life to the Lord. And some people are like that. They don't respond the first time they hear, but sometimes even when they're suffering the consequences of their own choices, that's the moment that they turn to the Lord and finally give their life to him. And I think that's one of God's main goals. We know he loves people. John 3:16, God so loved the world. All of us were sinners before we came to Christ. None of us is good enough to get to him, whether now or in the tribulation period. So he's always trying to draw people to himself. And that's a beautiful thing to behold.
You referenced getting some emails. I'm going to read one right now. And I'm not going to give this gal's name because I don't have permission, but I'm reading line by line. She says, "What a time to be alive, and I always knew it would be in my lifetime, but I never imagined how painful and exhausting it would be to watch darkness and depravity take over our environment. I am buried in emails of discouragement from my prayer team, spiritual and emotional exhaustion, a sense of feeling given over to this evil world for so many." Then she goes on to say, "I'm one person, as you are in your ministry, and it's challenging to keep feeding into so many. When I'm truly battling the same outrage and horror myself, I never thought we would still be here." She says, "We are seeing the Antichrist system in place. Surely it can't be much longer. What a relief it will be, but I find myself repeating the same scriptures again and again to keep people pointed in the right direction." And then she concludes, "I confess I'm weary, longing to go home and be with my Lord. Everywhere we turn, the evil is spreading through the lymph nodes." And she concludes, "This is truly unbearable to see. I don't understand why God allows such blasphemy against him. I find myself wondering how much more he will make us witness as he tries to give those who don't know him every minute to repent." You want to comment on that, Todd?
Every believer can relate to that. And when I travel and speak, I hear that quite a bit as well and get a lot of emails. I think one healthy aspect of that is it's forcing us believers to let go of the things of the world and cling more to the things of heaven, the things that we know are coming, and remind ourselves of some of the stories. One that comes to mind often is the fact that the disciples were in the boat with Jesus in the midst of the storm. The waves were roaring, the wind was howling, but they forgot Jesus was in the boat. And before they left, he said, "Let's go to the other side." So he had already promised them that we're going to the other side. Nowhere in that commandment or that prophecy did he say that they were going to perish in the storm. That doesn't mean that the dangers aren't real and the things that we see aren't truly scary. They are. But we have to remember that Jesus is in the boat with us and that we have a prophesied future that he promised. And that all of this is pointing to the nearness of the rapture, which we know takes place before the 7-year tribulation. It's almost like we need to preach to ourselves daily and remind us to put our money where our mouth is in terms of being a believer and really trusting that God is in control. One thing I love, and Jeff and I talk about this quite a bit, is that the first thing that John saw when he was taken up to heaven in Revelation chapter 4 is he saw a throne. And I always finish my message of saying, we have an empty tomb to look back on, an occupied throne to look up to, and an amazing future to look forward to. The church at large has been good at focusing on the empty tomb and all the wonderful things that Christ secured for us at the cross. But we need to remember there's an occupied throne. There's no panic in heaven. God doesn't have a plan B. He knows exactly what he's doing. So we need to put our trust in that. And lastly, we need to look forward to that amazing promised future that God has set before us.
Going to play one more clip talking about as we see the day approaching.
Tell me, what is the key thing that I need to know as a Christian about prophecy and how it applies to my life today?
Like, again, referencing the verse at the top of the hour, we need to encourage one another. So it should be encouraging. Jeff and I often say if people are teaching prophecy and it's scaring people or it's causing fear for the believer, then they're teaching it wrong. It really should bring us hope and encouragement all the more as we see the day approaching. So in terms of relevance for us today, I think a lot of people look at the news and then, all right, try to cram it into the Bible. Jeff and I kind of take the opposite approach. Let's just study the Bible. People that are studying counterfeits, they study the real thing so that a counterfeit stands out like a sore thumb. So it's kind of the same thing. We're really pointing people back to scripture with that tension, with that balanced view that we believe the Lord's return is imminent. The rapture could happen at any moment, but also that we need to be living for the Lord today, planning for the future. As the world becomes more and more unstable, I think it's an opportunity for believers to maybe let go of the things of the world, let go of some of the things we've been putting our trust in, let people who, as you mentioned earlier,
who are in church but not believers get that right with the Lord. It's time. It's not time to play games. The instability of the world is screaming at us that all of this is trending towards what we read in the book of Revelation. And that's what I mean by we need to study the Bible first, because then we can learn different trends and things that are going to happen, whether it's technology or geopolitics or what's happening with Israel. And those things can give us hints that we're trending in that direction. The super sign that we're trending in that direction is Israel becoming a nation again in 1948. And then in our day, what we're seeing is the stage setting for every single area of signs, every single geopolitical, technological, or cultural trend is trending in the exact direction we would expect it to see happen in the end times. The 7-year tribulation is too short for everything to develop in that time. So by necessity, we should see, the closer we get to that and we see the day approaching, we should see the trends trending in that direction. And that's exactly what we see. And that should light a fire under us to reach people for Christ. And I thank you for y'all's heartbeat already. I can tell you guys are all about reaching people for Christ. And just thank you for that.
Very well said, Todd. I'm taking a question here from your website. You ask, can the church claim the promises that God gave to Israel? From there, you go on to explain that there are various theologies. My audience are members of churches that are dispensational theology, covenant theology. And then you go on to explain the difference between covenant theology and dispensational theology. And I'm quick to insert here, not everyone who is promoting covenant theology believes every line of that theology. In other words, John MacArthur is very much of a dispensationalist, whereas most in his stream of thought are believing that the church is Israel, etc. Can you give us an overview of the difference here? You write about it, and it's very effective.
When I first started studying Bible prophecy, I didn't know what a dispensation was or a covenant was. I let Scripture speak for itself. When you let the plain sense of Scripture speak, you can see that all past prophecies were fulfilled literally, and therefore the logical conclusion is that all future prophecy will also be fulfilled literally. So when God has a promise in the Old Testament specifically to Israel, then that promise is to Israel. There's nothing in the New Testament that reinterprets that. We have to use the same Bible study method or the same hermeneutic from Genesis to Revelation. But just to explain, dispensational theology means that God works slightly different in different eras. And Paul talks about the current dispensation of the church age. He talks about the previous dispensation of the law, and he talks about the future dispensation. So there's at least three. I believe there's seven. So we know that before the fall, that was a different time period. And the word dispensation really just means economy. It's a framework in which God works. Salvation is always the same. It's by faith, it's by grace, and it's trusting God. Covenant theology says that there's the old covenant and the new covenant, and says that the new covenant reinterprets the old covenant specifically when it comes to the prophecies of the people of Israel. One of the distinctives of dispensationalism is that God has a distinct program for the Jewish people and for the church, and that doesn't go away. And if you read Romans 9 through 11, Paul is very clear. God's promises are irrevocable. The things that he has promised to Israel will take place. It's just that we live in this tiny little period right now where his focus is on the church, which was a mystery in the Old Testament. But as soon as the church is raptured, he'll return to his program for the Jewish people. Now, everyone has to accept Christ to be saved. We're all saved the same way. But what we're trying to show here is that when you let the plain sense of Scripture speak, it clearly says God has a program for Israel. A lot of people who teach replacement theology don't see modern day Israel as a fulfillment of prophecy, even though every Old Testament prophet except for Jonah prophesied that Israel would become a nation again in the last days. And when you read Revelation and Daniel and other of the Old Testament prophets, it's clear that Israel being a nation again is a prerequisite for all end time events in the tribulation period to occur. We didn't have to see that in our day and age. The rapture could have happened before Israel became a nation. It's almost like God gave us this huge gift to show us, yes, prophecy is literal. Fulfilled prophecy in the Old Testament was literal, and future prophecy will be literal as well. There is a lot of error in that, and it's not a salvation issue. And right. I think a lot of people adopt the system of theology that they were taught. But I would just lovingly encourage anybody who's listening to set systems aside and let Scripture speak for itself and see what data fits the best. And I think they'll come to the same conclusion that God is not done with his people. He gave way too many specific promises and even said those promises would not go away unless the sun or moon stopped going on their circuit. Any way you look at it, Scripture speaks very clearly to this regard.
We carry Todd's book, The Chronological Guide to Bible Prophecy, an illustrated panorama from Genesis to Revelation. Find that in my online store, olivetreeviews.org. Call my office, get on our newsletter lists. It's a very handy little book that I think you would enjoy. Todd, how do folks access the Prophecy Pros podcast?
They can go to toddhampson.com, and there's links to all the books and the podcast. Or if they just wanted to go directly to the podcast, they can go to prophecyprospodcast.com.
You lead an interesting life, that's all I can say. Being an illustrator, writing books, doing podcasts, and I thank you for doing it, by the way, Todd. I think you're a very effective communicator of things to come, and we love all of your products. We have been all over the map this hour, talking about things to come and things going on in the world that are going haywire. I'm just going to close, and you've heard me read this probably 24 times over the years. When the time was right, the sea parted, the walls fell down, the lions went hungry, the sun stood still, the waves were calm, the stone was rolled away, the clouds were parted, and the Lord ascended. And when the time is right, the King of Kings will return. God is never early and he's never late. He's always right on time, and his plan for you is good. Remember that always, even in the midst of all the turmoil, you can have peace amidst the pieces because his plan for you is good. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. It's a privilege and a challenge to be born for such a time as this. We hope you will encourage someone this week who is faint-hearted. Always remember, events don't happen by chance. Rather, God allows all things to transpire so that everything can fall into place.